Scripture reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you, especially our visitors this morning. We're so glad that you're here. We hope that you would come back every chance that you get, as well as our members. We're always happy to see each other. Thank you all for being here. We're excited to have another lesson from God's Word at this time. So if you would go ahead and take out your Bibles, we're excited to get into this text here. We're talking about the Word of God. Now, I will remind you that I had a little bit of a stomach bug this last week. So I've got a little bit of a shortness of breath. I've been a little bit fatigued. So I apologize for that, but I will ask you to bear with me. So thank you for trying with me here. I'm going to try to push through and try to get through it. But our sword, the Word of God. Whenever we think of the Word of God, what are we all holding this morning? We're holding the Bible. This right here is the Word of God. We talked about that this morning quite a bit. We talked about the words of God, and we believe in a verbal plenary inspiration, that every single word of the Bible is inspired by God, is God-breathed by God, is from God. So every single word of this Scripture, of this book, is from God. Our sword that we use as Christians, that we use in this life, is the Word of God, is the truth, is this thing that we hold in our hands this morning. And Hebrews 4:12 gave it to us very good what that Word of God is. And it is everything to us as Christians. It's everything to us as the children of God. Do we as Christians have a physical sword? No, we don't. We have a spiritual sword. We have a sword that can change the soul. We have a sword that can change the heart of a man or a woman. We have a sword that can change the very course of someone's eternal destiny. And that is the Word of God. The Word of God can do that for anyone. And all we have to do, Christians, is take it to the world. All we have to do is take it to our hearts. And all we have to do is understand what the Scriptures are telling us and follow the Scriptures. Follow what God is commanding us. And if we do that, we can change the course of our eternal destiny. We are the deciders of our destiny. No one can decide that for us. No one. Look to the person to your left. Look to the person to your right. No one can decide that for you. You can change your destiny as far as where you go after this life. When you close your eyes for the last time, where are you going? You're the one who can change that. And how you change that is how you follow the Scriptures. It's how you follow the Word of God, how much you care for the Word of God, and if you follow it or not. So this morning, we're going to talk about Israel, that nation of God in the Old Testament that was to follow God, was to be a light to all of the world in its time. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Israel had a mission. Israel was given a task by God. And as I asked earlier, do we as Christians have a physical sword? The answer is no. Israel, however, did have a physical sword, didn't they? But I want us to understand that that physical sword that Israel had is not the same sword that we as Christians should be taking today to people. Israel had a specific purpose in a specific time, in a specific place, and God gave them that specific mission. There's all a background to it. There's a meaning to it. For us as Christians, we also have a meaning to our sword. We also have a sword, and there's reason behind it. But for Israel, I want us to understand and differentiate what the difference is between the sword that they used and the sword that we as Christians use today. They were actually using the sword that they were to punish the wicked nations of Canaan. So Deuteronomy 9, 4 through 6. Let's read that together. Do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness, nor the uprightness of your heart, that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that He may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. God was going to deliver the judgment on the wicked nations of Canaan, no matter what Israel did. And Israel is simply the piece. They're simply the thing that God is going to use in order to carry out that judgment. So it's not because of the righteousness of Israel, because how many times did Israel transgress God and go against God and follow idols rather than God? How many times? So many times, right? Israel went against God so many times in the Old Testament scriptures. So it wasn't because of their righteousness. Understand that this sword that Israel was using against the nations of Canaan in the Old Testament, it was not because God doesn't love people. It was not because God doesn't want everyone to be saved. It was because Canaan had its chance. Canaan could have followed God, but they chose not to. They chose to follow the idols. They chose to follow all the pagan things. They chose to follow all the sins, all the desires of their heart, and to go into sin. That's why that judgment was delivered. And it was delivered by the sword of Israel, because God commanded them to do that. Now, were we as Christians given that same command today? Were we given the command to go out and to kill the nation of Canaan? No, we weren't. So we can't say as Christians that we should be going out and literally killing the enemy, killing the world. We as Christians should be rather what? Trying to save the world, right? John 3:16. That's God loved the world that He sent His Son. We the same way should be treating the world as Jesus did. He didn't come to condemn the world, to immediately judge the world there, then and there. He came to do what? He came to save the world. That's what we as Christians should be trying to do as well. So Israel had that specific thing that they were to do. Remember the event with the 12 spies? Remember when they didn't follow God's commands? Remember when they didn't do what God was telling them to do? Numbers 14:37. Let's turn there now. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 37. Now this here is about those 12 spies and the men who brought the evil report. Numbers 14:37. Those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. Because these men brought this report, because they brought the bad report about that land, whenever God told them, go into the land, possess the nation of Canaan, for I have given it to you. Well, they brought a bad report anyways, discouraged the people, except two, Joshua and Caleb. Those 10 spies, they would bring about basically the destruction of Israel and the destruction of themselves. We saw it there in verse 37. Now read verses 26 through 35 with me. We won't read the whole thing. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who are numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Also the little ones would be spared. Why did they not enter into the land? Because they didn't follow the commandments of God. Because they didn't do what God had wanted them to do. Because they didn't follow that will. But the next generation of Israel, what did they possess? They possessed that land of Canaan. They got that victory. They got that reward. They got that new land. Why? Because they did what? Because they followed the commandments of God. And you'll see that as you go throughout the scriptures. And the only reason I'm not reading all of these scriptures here is because we simply don't have the time. But if you read this account, The ones that didn't follow God's commands, the ones that didn't carry out what God told them to do about this Canaan, about this promised land, they would be punished. The ones who did, they would be rewarded. These things are teachings for us Christians. These things are written down for us to understand that if we follow the commandments of God, we will be rewarded after this life. We will even be rewarded in this life. We'll be blessed. God will be with us in our journey and in our fight against evil. God is with the righteous. God is with those who do His will. He's not with those who rather transgress His will. Now for us in Christianity, as we just talked about Israel, for us who are Christians, Jesus came to this earth to bring a sword. Matthew 10, 34. Turn there with me. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Jesus did, in fact, come to bring a sword. Says it right here. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, what does that mean? Verse 35, I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Why is that? Why would all these family members be enemies towards each other? Why is Jesus bringing a sword? Is this sword to destroy these people? Is this sword to destroy the world? No. This sword is to save it. It's to save the world, to try to save as many as possible before the end comes. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, what does it say? That's the Great Commission, right? That's that Great Commission when God is commanding God is commanding His children to take the gospel into the world, that all can be saved, that every nation can have the same chance in order to inherit salvation in the end. That Matthew 28, 18 through 20 commission, that's that verse there, that set of verses. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 is another great reference for us. The sword that we use is not physical. It's a spiritual sword. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Turn there with me as well. This is talking about the weapons of our warfare. For us as Christians, we should be focused on spiritual things always. And so, of course, the armor that we use is spiritual. The armor, the sword that we use is spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So are the weapons that we use, is it a gun? Is it an AR-15? No, it's not. As much as I love guns, as much as I love a bow and an arrow, that's not the weapon that we use. We use the Bible. We use the Scripture. We use the words of God as Christians and as people in this time. That's what we use today. We don't use a physical sword. We don't use a physical weapon. We use a spiritual weapon. And certainly our warfare is what? Spiritual. Our warfare and our combat, our battle in this life is a spiritual one. People, the devil is trying to get us all the time. Is he using a literal sword against us? No, he's not. He's trying to get at our hearts. He's trying to get in our minds. He's trying to get into our souls. He's trying to corrupt us. We have to be stronger. We have to be spiritually stronger in order to stand against that. Resist the devil and he will do what? Flee from you. We have to be stronger. Are you? Are you this morning stronger? Can you fight against evil? If you can't, you have got to strengthen yourself. You've got to shore yourself up with the Word of God, with the armor of God, Ephesians 6. You've got to strengthen yourself, or He's going to take you down, or evil will take you and will do with you what it wants. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, another great scripture talking about the Word of God. We know this one. It's a common verse, very, very well known. But 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. What does that say there? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, or of course woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as we mentioned earlier, how much of this book is inspired. Every word. Every word of the Bible is inspired. As you read these pages, you are reading the words of God Himself. Do you realize that? Take a second to realize that, Christians, friends. Take a second to realize. Look at this Bible. You are reading the words of God. How serious is that? How amazing is that? How awesome is that? That you're reading the words of the God who created everything around you and who created you. The God who created you gave you a message for you to follow. Will you follow it? That's the question. That's the question to all of us this morning. We have a chance. We have an opportunity to follow something that will take us to paradise after this life. God loves us enough to give us that chance. Even though sin is in this world, even though evil abounds, God loves us enough, and He loved us enough to send Jesus to save us. Why won't you take that chance? Why not take that chance today? Why not do it right now? You can be saved after this life is over. You don't have to wonder what's going to happen to you after this life. You can have that chance for salvation. You can have it. Take it. It's yours. Why not? Why not take salvation? Why not read the pages of the Bible, understand the commandments of God, and do them? Every figure in the Old Testament, every figure in the New Testament that was righteous, that those things were accounted to them for righteousness, that their actions, it was accounted to them for righteousness. They didn't just do some of the things that God commanded them. How many things did they do that God commanded? They did everything. They did all that God commanded them to do. Moses in building the tabernacle. Solomon in building the temple. Jesus in carrying out the gospel, bringing about how He would die on the cross for us. All of that was the will of God. Are you seeing it now? Revelation 22, 18 through 19. We do all according to the Word of God. Not some. Not some. Not what we want. Not what we desire. But we do everything that God told us to do. Not just one piece. Not just one little verse that I decide to pick out because I like that one better. Do you know how many people pick out a verse and make that their religion? How many people do that? How many? There's too many to count. They take a scripture out of this Bible and they use that for their entire religion. No. What should we rather be doing? Taking the entirety of the scripture and using that as our religion. The entirety of the scripture. And what do we as Christians follow? Do we follow the Old Testament or the New Testament? We follow the New Testament. Amen? We follow the New Testament today. Nothing else. The New Testament Scripture, the inspired, God-breathed New Testament Scripture. Epistle, Gospel accounts, the book of Revelation, all of it. It's all inspired. And that is what we follow. That is what every single man and woman today should be following. But most choose not to. Do you know why? Because of selfish desires. Because evil reasons. Because they'd rather go to pagan gods who will give them what they rather want to do. What will you do? What will you do this morning? What will I do? Will we choose God? Or will we choose ourselves? Is this life about only us? Is it about me, myself, and I? Or is it about God? Is it about doing the will of God, being well-pleasing to God, and then going to be with Him after this life is over? Forever! What is it about? It's about serving God, isn't it? Serving God. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Remember? What does it say there? Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. What was the purpose of life? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Fear God and keep His commandments. It's as simple as that. That was the conclusion of the whole matter. Everything else in life is vanity. That whole book talks about it. All pointless, all vanity, all the pleasures of life, all of this, all of that. Grasping for the wind. Everything under the sun is what? Vanity. What's the purpose of life? fear God, and keep His commandments. That's what you have to do. And then, what's your hope? What's your hope, Christians? Heaven. Your hope is heaven. Your hope is heaven. When you close your eyes for the last time, you're not done. You will open them in paradise. And you will be blown away when you see the things that you see. Paradise. The paradise of God. And you will meet Moses. You will meet all those great Bible characters that you read about. Ezekiel. All the minor prophets that were faithful. You will meet those men. You will meet Ruth. Maybe Deborah the judge, as we talked about this morning. You'll meet those great Bible characters. And how awesome is that? How awesome. That's what's waiting for you. And a mansion in heaven is waiting for you. John 14. That's what's waiting for you after this life. If you follow the commandments of God. If you follow what God has to say to you. That's all He asks. Do My will. And I will save you. That's all God wants you to do. Is it so hard? It's not so hard. If you love your God, it's not so hard. If you love your God and you want to do good, you want to do what's right, it's not hard at all. If you want the hope of heaven, this is what is, of course, required by God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. As we have this Word of God, this thing that can save people, this thing that can pierce even the division of soul and spirit, what should we do with it? This is Paul the Apostle talking to Timothy now, the younger preacher. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. With all patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And how many people don't endure sound doctrine today? How many people? Countless people. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful. In all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. There you go. Be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. There you go, Christians. Is the work of a Christian just left up to the preacher? Is it just left up to me? No. It's left up to all of us. All children of God should equally be trying to take this message, God's message, to the world. All of us were given that great commission. All of us. In whatever way that is, if you support the work, if you do it literally yourself, in whatever way that is, if you maybe can't preach, maybe because of commandment of God, you're a woman, you can't preach, teach. Teach the younger. Teach the women. Support the work. If you're a man and you don't want to preach, you don't think you have the ability to, support the work. Teach. Do something. Help in serving communion. Teach the person in Walmart standing next to you who's never met another Christian. Help them. You see the importance? The importance that you could change someone's eternal destiny with this book right here. You could change the course of their eternity. You could make that difference. And you can even make the difference this morning for yourself if you're not already a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? I hope you are. If not, do something about it this morning. Don't wait another day. When is the day of salvation? When is it? Right now. Right now. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Stop waiting. You might not have tomorrow. Jesus might come again. Do something now. Of course, supporting the work, as we just talked about, Philippians 4:18 is a good reference for that. Instead of literally doing the preaching, you can always support the work. The churches were certainly doing that in the first century. But what do? We commit the Word of God to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2, chapter 2 and verse 2. Take the gospel to the world, brethren. Take the gospel to the world. It's yours. It's theirs. God didn't just give it to you. He didn't just give it to you. Why don't you take it to others? Why don't you share? Why don't you help someone this week? Why don't you help someone this week who doesn't have hope for their eternity? Who needs Jesus? Why don't you help someone? And if you need it this morning, again, why do you wait? Why do you wait another minute? You have got to do something about that. You've got to change that right now. You've got to become a Christian. You've got to understand the plan of salvation. You have to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Turn from all of the evil. Be willing to repent of it. Confess Jesus is the Son of God. And then be baptized into the water for salvation. It's right here. Here's water right here. You can be baptized today. Why are you waiting? It's right here. There's no reason to wait unless you don't understand. Be baptized, immersed into the water, to be cleansed of your sins and to be added into the kingdom of God, and then remain faithful until death, following the commandments of God that He has given you in these scriptures. If you are a Christian, if you have sin in your life, correct it. Correct that sin and get rid of it today. Don't go another day with sin in your life. Don't go another 5 seconds with sin in your life. Pray to God. Ask for forgiveness in your heart. True, sorrowful repentance. Godly sorrow. If you have any need this morning, if you want to become a Christian, you need to. If you're not already, if you're already a Christian and you need forgiveness of sins, if you need any kind of help, prayers, anything, we would encourage you to come as we're about to stand and sing. Do not be ashamed to come and sit at this front pew. Don't be ashamed of that. And I think so many Christians and people are. Don't be ashamed. It's a joyous thing when brethren pray for each other. It's a joyous thing when someone comes into the fold of God. If you have any need this morning, please, please do come to the front, up to one of these pews, as we stand and as we sing.